Lies with Sarah Schaefer is a production of WNYC Radio.
Hello, my lies fans, my liesies, lie holes, lie heads, lie junkies, liars, 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 pants off fires, beliebers, pronounced beliebers, pretty little liars, fans of the show who are both pretty and little, fans of Sarah Schaefer, hello, Schaefaholics, Sarah Warriors, Sarah Bears, welcome, liesinators, liesineers, Joe lies when he cries, the Society of the Lie, Mothers Against Telling the Truth, 20 Years to Lifers, and my dad. Welcome to Lies. On each episode of Lies, we probe the mind of a fascinating public figure, leaving no stone unturned and no truth told. I'm Sarah Schaefer. Today, I am joined by Jared Logan. Jared Logan is a rising stand-up comedy star. In 2013, he appeared in his own half-hour stand-up special on Comedy Central and was a regular cast member on VH1's recent incarnation of Best Week Ever. He is featured on Comedy Central's new show, The Meltdown, and his new album, My Brave Battle, debuts on a Special Thing Records in fall 2014. Jared Logan, hello.
Howdy.
So, you were raised in La Jolla, California,
yeah.
Small town, nice town.
Small town, salt of the earth. And
your father, he was in farming.
Mass farming.
Mass farming.
Yeah, that's where you try to farm the most amount of land for the least amount of money. What he would do is he would help local farmers by buying their farms.
How would that exactly help them?
Well, you know, if you see how someone else can do something better, sometimes you become better at it. At any rate, they were given some money. And, you know, it was a small town, so people didn't really do stand-up comedy. You know, there's not really a stand-up comedy scene in La Jolla, you know, and it was
there's
rough.
No, what you're saying, there's no La Jolla Yuck Yucks or La Jolla Improv or La Jolla Chuckle Hut.
No.
No La Jolla bananas.
No, there's nothing like that, you know? And no. So it was just a very earthy way of living. Like, I had to work my way. I wanted to leave, obviously, because I had, like, dreams of becoming a comedian. So I had to work, like, at the golf course, you know what I mean?
Oh, were you, like, a caddy?
As an administrator.
Oh.
Yeah, and I had to fire a lot of people, and that's not fun. But every time I fired someone or, frankly, got someone deported, I thought, I'm doing this so I can one day be a comedian.
That sounds like a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah. But eventually I stopped working and focused on...
You stopped working.
...my comedy. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you know what? You're never going to be a comedian if you keep working. You need to stop working. You need to use this money that's been set aside for you to eat and live. And you need to just use that money while you're becoming a comedian.
By set aside, you mean...
From the mass farming my father did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So... Obviously, you know, as I'm a stand-up comedian as well, and I know that it's one thing to think you're funny and have a sense of humor.
Right.
And then at one point you say to yourself, I am going to actually do this.
Yeah.
And try.
Yeah.
Comedy. Tell me about the first time that you ever did stand-up comedy.
I don't fool around. Mm. So I wanted to be a professional stand-up comedy. I didn't want to like spend years and years like... coming up with jokes, writing them down, going to little open mics and like little skeevy bars. I wanted to be a stand-up now. So I took control of my destiny and I managed to get on to the set of a Jerry Seinfeld film.
Okay.
Not the documentary.
Was there another one?
B movie, it was called. And I got onto the set.
Okay.
And I found Jerry Seinfeld. And people tell me this is not the way to become a stand-up comedian. But I was just like, F it. I'm making my dream a reality. So I found Jerry Seinfeld while he was eating lunch.
Back up. How did you get on the set?
I gave some money to a security guard.
Okay.
And we are very good friends now.
Oh.
Yeah, I hired him as a doorman for my building because he got fired from the studio.
For taking the money?
Yeah, they're not supposed to do that. But I think it's all evened out because he sort of helped me become a professional stand-up comedian, which is karmically, that helps the world. So I got on set and I just did my routine for Jerry right there while he was eating lunch. And part of the time he was eating lunch and then part of the time he was walking away.
What was he eating?
Oh, God. I'll never forget. He was eating just bread.
Hmm.
And then he had a bowl of warm water he was dipping it in. It's these Hollywood diets.
Was it a cleanse?
I don't cotton to all. It's probably some sort of...
Namby-pamby
Hollywood, you know, I'm not a Hollywood type, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I eat raw American red meat.
Raw?
you know, American foods, steak tartare, sushi, American foods.
Let's get back. He was walking away, but also listening to you.
At first he was eating his lunch, then he was walking away, then he was like kind of shutting a door. But then I think I had one joke that just kind of stopped him for a second. And he was like, what? The rest is history.
Do you remember what the joke was?
It was something about having sex with a pool filter. You know, something very in his style. You know, I think he just could see that I was kind of the spiritual successor to his legacy. And that's why he hooked me up.
He hooked you up?
He put me in touch with his agents who also loved me, of course. And then I was able to move on from there. But, you know, that's what you have to do in comedy is get near important people.
That was your first time doing stand-up.
That was my first time. Get near important people. Get near the person that can do the most for you and become friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do in comedy. If you're like wasting your time, like just like writing jokes, you're not going to get where you want to be. You have to just be in the vicinity of people with power, and then you will become a professional artist.
Have you ever read The Secret?
Yes.
See, you already knew the answer.
I already knew what you were going to say, and I already knew what the answer was because, yes, I've read The Secret.
It sounds like you might believe in The Secret a little bit.
How about it's my religion?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Secretism?
It's not, I mean, it's not literally religion, Sarah.
Oh, okay.
But we do get together for like weekend, you know, retreats.
Well, what is The Secret? I mean, it's the, you...
The Secret is a book you can purchase.
Yeah, but
and if you don't do that, I can't just tell it to you. It
well,
wouldn't
I'll
be much of a secret.
I'll tell you the secret. Yeah.
Okay.
It's, if you want something bad enough, it will just happen. That's The Secret.
That sounds like a simplification. It's depthy.
Depthy?
Mm-hmm. I've always believed, find the positive in a situation, point it out, and then the people around you will feel like things are going well for you and that you like them, and then they will want to do things for you.
Jared, you've obviously come a far way. You know, you started out on set with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. This, humble beginnings on the set with Jerry.
You're now one of the country's most talked about up-and-coming stand-up comics.
Premier.
You're one of the premier stand-up comedians. I mean, you're not like Louis C.K. level at this point.
No, I'm younger than him.
What, to this point, has been the highlight of your... What was the moment that you said, I can't believe this is my life.
Yeah.
I am so blessed.
You know, this is a blessed life, the stand-up comedian's life. And I would describe it as just a transcendental experience of joy. I was invited to a Thanksgiving dinner and Johnny Depp was there.
Wow.
And that's the moment.
That was the moment.
He was not talkative, but it was just kind of being around him.
Right.
And knowing, because I'm near a person like Johnny Depp, I'm the next Johnny Depp.
Going back to your theory about being near...
The vicinity.
In the vicinity.
He's a household name.
Is that your goal? You want to be a household...
And he's a rebel, and I see myself as a rebel.
Oh. What's the most rebellious thing you've ever done?
I was on Napster for a while.
The illegal music downloading site.
Now illegal. And I got a tattoo.
What is the tattoo?
So it's like me and Johnny are kind of, you know, similar people. It's the Tasmanian devil peeing on a NASCAR.
And that's similar to Johnny Depp because... He has tattoos. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a Tasmanian devil peeing on a NASCAR.
Well, no, he has different things. I mean, it would be lame if I got the same tattoo as him.
Oh, right.
But what I'm saying is that he and I are like, whatever, it's my body. I'll put out there what I want to put out there, you know?
Does that tattoo symbolize anything personal for you?
I actually got it by accident.
Oh.
I wanted to get this like Maori barbed wire thing around my arm, but I was pretty inebriated and I ended up getting Tasmanian devil peeing on a NASCAR in the small of my back. The thing about it is, I don't even know, it's a number 3 NASCAR. Who is that? I hope it's not the guy that died. If it is, to his family, I say sorry.
Are you currently dating anyone?
I'm dating, I hope they don't hear this, but I'm dating a couple of people right now.
This isn't an anonymous interview.
I know, but I just, you know, they don't listen to public radio. They're more into like top 40 stuff.
So how do you manage that? How do you juggle
dating,
two women?
Well, okay. First of all, I have dating goals. Okay.
Oh, dating goals.
My ultimate goal is to date Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
Or maybe like in a pinch, like a Maya Rudolph would be fine. You know,
she's married.
Trust me, that hardly matters.
Okay.
So to me, dating's all about just meeting people who then introduce me to new people that I date, who then introduce me to new people that I date, eventually leading to Kristen Wiig or Maya Rudolph.
When you say dating goals, you mean people, like people you have the goal of dating, not like I would like to be in a loving, committed relationship that lasts longer than 6 months. I mean, that's one of my goals, so that's...
That's a dating goal for you. Okay.
It's a long-term goal.
I'm sorry you've never experienced that.
No. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, dating is really, like, when I look at somebody, I look at them as like an opportunity to date other people. So if I ask you out, I'm really asking out the person I'm going to be dating a year from now, who you don't even know.
So it's like 6 degrees lead. Of Kristen Wiig.
Do you know anybody that knows her?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think at your stage, it might be more like 72 degrees of Kristen Wiig.
I think I'm closer than that. I've drawn up some charts you can see here.
You brought them.
And you can see it's kind of like a web.
Okay.
So the people that are X'd out are...
This is a
stupid.
I'm surprised that you did this with a pencil.
Well, you need to make... I have to make corrections all the time because I'll, you know...
It's very elaborate, very small. You have very small handwriting. This page is just covered.
Yeah, and you know what the funniest thing is I have pieces of paper like this covering the entire wall of my cabin.
Your cabin?
When people come
cabin?
In, they're like, yeah, I live in a cabin. And when people come in, they're like, are you the Unabomber? And I'm like, ha, close.
Are all the pieces about dating, or is each piece of paper something
different? No. I have other things. You know, like how can I, you know, how do I get near the vicinity of people? Who's like the next step in the chain?
Right. Who's in the center? Of
I have joke writing
the
formulas.
Vicinity. Who's the center?
Who's the ultimate?
Yeah. Yeah.
She controls a lot of what's going on in terms of media, in terms of how we think as a people. You know, Oprah really is at the center of the web. And
something I would like to see.
I see my career as mirroring hers, except stand-up comedy. Except that I'm a stand-up comedian.
You're the Oprah of comedy.
Ultimately, I will be the Oprah of comedy.
Mm-hmm. What would you be if you weren't a comedian?
If I wasn't a comedian, I probably would be...
If I were not.
I don't care. If me not comedian... I probably would be like the Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama.
Because I'm very spiritual.
There already is a Dalai Lama, though, so...
But I'm saying I would be something like that, like whatever the American version of that is.
Do you consider yourself a mentor for other younger comedians?
Yeah, for sure. I put myself out there and I teach comedy courses.
Oh, right.
So
it's the Jared Logan ha-ha.
I call it Chuckle Vision. Chuckle Vision is an intensive 3-week program. We do it in Death Valley.
Why in Death Valley?
Part of it's a sweat lodge. $5,000 per person.
That sounds pricey for a comedian just starting out.
Oh, yeah? Well, guess how much money you'll be making when you become a pro comedian? A lot more than that.
Okay.
And a lot of people that I taught have graduated to become very popular professional comedians. Alan Deming. Raymond Jin.
Can't say I've heard of these guys.
Margaret Lolly, Tyzel, Captain Bamber.
Captain Bamber? What's his deal?
He mostly performs in the Northeast.
He's like a Vermont.
He's Vermont based. That's right.
I think I've seen him.
He's great.
Jared, you've told us about the high spot of your career.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell us about the real low spot.
That's hard because I don't think there have been any.
A moment where you doubted yourself.
That's kind of impossible.
Have you ever been rejected in any way?
I feel like if I say I have, then it'll be true. And that's not something I want to put out there.
Okay.
I don't like negativity, especially when it comes from other people toward me. So if I hear someone say no, I just add problem to the end. No? No problem. Can I have a TV show on your network? No. Problem. Can I be your boyfriend? No. Problem. My entire life is just adding problems. Mm-hmm. I don't get turned down. I get turned up. I've always believed what my old football coach used to say. Just when you're thinking of giving up, it's time to up what you can give.
Jared, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
Jared Logan is appearing on the second season of the new Best Week Ever. Mm-hmm. You can also see him at clubs and festivals and colleges all around the world.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jared.
Lies is produced by Curtis Fox and Sharon Mashihi. Our sound engineer is Bill O'Neill. Chris Bannon is the executive producer. Lies was created by Sarah Schaefer and is produced by WNYC New York and distributed by Nerdist Industries.
I didn't mean to offend you.
Nothing offends me except for there's about 9 topics that I will not speak
and
of.
And I brought up one of the
you
9.
Did. Mm-hmm. And other than that, nothing offends me. So just don't bring them up.
Okay. Can you tell us what the 9 topics
no.
are? You don't even like to say what they are.
I don't even like... The fact that I'm thinking about them right now is making me so angry.
Okay, I don't want to get angry.
I don't either.
I don't want you to get angry.
I don't either, because I'm a nice guy.
Well, the reason I brought it up is...